ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
And last year's Team of Destiny is now a dynastic team. The Brisbane Lions plunging their way to back-to-back. Once again, the Brisbane Lions are premiers.
Do you remember what happened last time the Brisbane Lions went back-to-back? They went back-to-back-to-back. We are about to embark on another AFL season, which means that fans still have hope. Everyone still believes that their team could climb into the top eight. I mean, 10. After a busy off-season where big-name players found new homes, they'll be hoping to impress new fans. Who will have the most impact at their new clubs? Will St Kilda's expensive summer pay dividends? And which club might surprise their fans? And who might need to temper their expectations a little for season 2026? Footy's back. I'm Poppy Penny and this is ABC Sport Daily. Melbourne Middlemass calls the footy for the ABC and will be in Sydney as the season kicks off with opening round, highlighting the code in the northern states and also in, checks notes, Melbourne. Corb, the debate about opening round continues. Will the concept persevere, do you think?
It's a great question. I'm not so sure about it. I mean, I've been lucky enough to cover footy in the northern states for 3 years. I spent 1 year in southeast Queensland and two in Sydney, so completely understand the need to be able to spotlight the northern states. I mentioned last year at the start of the season, I feel like this weekend would probably better belong, say, in July, if you took advantage of that sort of school holiday window. I think it'd be great for tourism in places like, you know, Queensland, for example, if we know Victorians love nothing more than heading north, particularly in the depths of winter. And you could basically clear your buys across 2 weekends. You could play 4 games one weekend, 5 games the next. And on the weekend where there's 4 games being played, I would think that would be the perfect opportunity to play a couple of games in Queensland, a couple of games in New South Wales, and you almost kill two birds with the one stone. It's, you know, you clear your buys, you get the chance to get rid of that, but you also create almost a feature round out of it in the process.
Siren beats the Pies. Gold Coast beats the Pies. Who would have thought that the problem child growing up would be easy? No way! But after 16 years, they might have just grown up.
I just feel like with opening round, people have been waiting for footy to come back. And there are 8 teams in the competition this weekend that are sitting at home and not involved. So for supporters of those teams, I can understand why they feel a little disconnected from what should be the big bang and the launch to the new season.
Corb, we should put you in charge. Brisbane are the back-to-back champs. And to avoid a premiership hangover, they've gone and added more talent to their list in the form of Sam Draper and Oscar Allen. They did have some off-field challenges with Lachie Neale stepping down as skipper. Can you see a second three-peat this side of 2000 for the Lions?
Absolutely. I think there's sort of no surprise that they are the sort of odds-on favourite heading into the new season. Most people in their, you know, premiership estimations have the Brisbane Lions on top, and I'm certainly one of those. The reason for that, in last year's grand final team, they had 8 guys 22 years of age or younger.
Falls down towards Dunkley, gives it to McCluggage, kicks inside 50, Morris.
He's a good mark.
The juggled mark for their young blue chipper. And he'll have a look here from 35 out left half forward.
He's on one of the best backs in the competition too.
That's an incredible list. So Lohman, Ashcroft, Fletcher, Wilmot, Morris. And then throw on top of that 3 teenagers, so to make up the 8 under 22, Gallup, Marshall and Ashcroft. So that's the other Ashcroft being Levi. So they basically became the first team since the 93 Baby Bombers. And remember how, you know, history remembers them as such a young team that felt like they almost won ahead of their time. That was Brisbane winning for a second time in their third consecutive grand final. So for all the great teams that we've seen, you know, complete a hat-trick of flags.
They couldn't do it in the 80s and the 90s, but the Lions have gone back to back to back to become the greatest side of the modern era. They are football's invincibles.
And really make, you know, 4 consecutive grand finals. Really, it's a team coming towards the end. It's guys that are almost, you know, cresting the hill and on the way back down the mountain. That's not this Brisbane Lions team. They are ascending with really the core of their, you know, key players and their talent, if not in their physical prime, coming into it. So I can understand all the optimism around Brisbane again, and quite rightfully, they are the premiership favourites heading into the new season.
That is a scary thought. The Saints finally got around to using that war chest they've been talking about for such a long time, and they paid up big. They secured Nzaia Wanganeen-Miller for another couple of years. They brought across Tom De Koning and Jack Silvani. Money doesn't always equal happiness, but will it pay off for St Kilda?
I wouldn't be so optimistic around this one. So I get what St Kilda have done, and they've pushed all their chips in the middle and really paying on potential rather than production. But I'm not sure I can see it. I think they're going to have to go from sort of mid-table treadmill to jump up into the top six to sort of make it all worthwhile. And I'm not so sure on the back of De Koning and Silvani and Flanders and Ryan. I feel like, you know, the best player out of that lot is probably Flanders. I feel like the other thing is they've got 2 years to prove to Nasai that they're on the right track. It's not as if he, you know, pledged his future to St Kilda. He basically said, right, I'll sign, you know, one more contract.
Any score will do for the Saints to win it. Wanganeen Millerville, he kicks the goal. He is swamped by the Saints. And St Kilda has conjured a miracle victory under the roof.
Max King hasn't played since the Ice Age, and he's hurt again to start the new season. So I don't know about St Kilda. I'm holding out on them for now. I still feel like, you know, they'll be in that mid-table treadmill. That, you know, that might be, if they get a little lucky, they'll finish seventh. If they get a little unlucky, they might finish 12th. But I'm not so sure they're going to absolutely spike up into premiership contention, which you would think should be the payoff if you've got a bursting salary cap and you've been as aggressive as they have been.
Corb, you mentioned earlier how much Victorians love to go north for the winter, and quite a few players from Victorian clubs at other clubs around the country have decided to do that. Charlie Curnow has gone to the Swans, Christian Petrarca to the Gold Coast, Clayton Oliver to GWS, and we mentioned Allen and Draper going to Brisbane. Who of the sort of big name players that moved clubs in the off-season will have the biggest impact for their new club?
I think Christian Petrarca's the one for me. It feels like he's got a point to prove going up there. And think about the way that he left Melbourne, for example, where, you know, he's the Norm Smith medalist in his drought-breaking premiership. You know, first time that Melbourne have won in over 50 years. And yet he sort of left a little bit where it was almost like no one was disappointed to see him go. And I think he feels like, look, I've still got a lot to prove. He's not going to be sort of the main guy in that Melbourne midfield. He'll probably play across, in the Gold Coast midfield. I'll have to get my head around that. he'll be in and out of the midfield, but he'll be supporting guys like, you know, Rowell, the Brownlow medalist, Anderson, the captain, Miller. There's so many other players through the midfield.
Initially, it was quite overwhelming, obviously learning a new system and a new structure and new teammates and get to know them away from the field and their families and friends and stuff like that. So it's been good, but obviously to play the last few games, it's been awesome to build that connection as well.
So I think as a complementary piece to be able to come in, if you look at, say, you know, the comparison, even say they lose Ben Ainsworth, but they gain Christian Petrarca, I feel like that's an upgrade on that position. And for a guy that's going to be sort of extra motivated, he's going to be a little bit off Broadway up there. I wouldn't be surprised if he has a sneaky big season. And I really like the Gold Coast. I've got them sort of right there at the finish in 2026.
Every season we see coaches under pressure. Who are we going to be seeing the headlines about this year? Who's under the pump in season 2026?
I think this is an easy one. This is Michael Voss, unfortunately. I mean, he's such a legend of the game, a Brownlow medalist, three-time premiership captain. And yet, unfortunately for Voss, he's in this unenviable position where he's coaching a team that is regenerating. So even tonight's game, for example, they have 13 different players. There's only 23 that walk on the ground. They got 13 different players from the last time Carlton played. So that's heavy turnover. Only 10 guys backing up from round 24 last year. So you'd be saying, well, this is a different phase. This is, you know, a transition period for Carlton. They're going, you know, down a different path with new players and everything else. But that's not what the coach's contract says. The coach's contract says that he's off contract at the end of this year. And so you'd think, well, if the board's still waiting to make a decision on Michael Voss, what are they waiting to see? Surely they're not waiting to say, hey, how's the rebuild looking under year one? Because we all know that generally you go backwards to go forward. And so you would think that would come with a little bit of security for the coach that they're all in the same direction on the next path. So unfortunately for Vossi, as much as, you know, the club more broadly might be going on this next mission and this next stage as a club, next phase, Michael Voss needs to win now.
And the siren sounds. Nothing sweeter than bragging rights against the arch rivals and sending the Blues just a little bit deeper. They are 0-4 to start the 2025 season.
Because if he doesn't win and the pressure builds and the questions keep getting asked about what's happening with the team and are they making progress, then unfortunately for Michael Voss, I feel like he's going to find himself out on an island pretty quick.
Second year in a row that Vossi will be trying to avoid the back pages of the paper, I think, in 2026. Hope springs eternal before a ball is thrown up. But which sets of fans do you think need to temper their expectations for this year?
Well, I think St Kilda, who we touched on, the only other team I'd probably throw in that category is GWS. And I think given the offseason they've had, they've been up for a long time. They've played finals every year under Adam Kingsley. But even before that, when Leon Cameron was in charge, it's 8 of the last 10 years for the Giants. So they've been there and thereabouts. They've lost their last 4 finals, and all of them have scarring attached to them. They led in the second half in all 4 of those games.
It was the Bloods and Guts. They climbed back into the match to win a thrilling Sydney derby and book a home preliminary final. September in Sydney is red and white for once.
And now they've got injuries to compound that at the start of the year and injuries to key pieces. Brent Daniels was a fringe All-Australian. He hasn't played now for a year and a half, and he's hurt again going into the new season. Sam Taylor's arguably the best fullback in the competition. He picked up an injury in Origin that looks worse than first thought. Josh Kelly's had his hip repaired, the same hip surgery that that Andy Murray's had, and I'd be surprised if we see him at all in 2026. He's still got 4 years to run on his current long-term deal. And then obviously the biggest name of all is Tom Green, who's their reigning best and fairest winner, and he's out for the season with an ACL. Finn Callahan's nursing a hip complaint to start the new season. So I just think the amount of injuries that they're carrying into a new season doesn't necessarily bode well for GWS. So I think if I'm a fan of the Giants, I'd be thinking maybe this year's not going to be as fruitful as others.
Let's finish on a positive. Have you got a Smokey? Who's going to jump up and surprise us in 2026?
I think Port Adelaide. I mean, this is a hard question because it's almost the inverse nowadays where you think, well, if 10 of the 18 teams technically qualify for the finals or for the postseason or whatever you want to call it, given the introduction of the wildcards, to essentially say, hey, your team's going to be one of the bottom 8, you think, gee, that's quite pessimistic. I'm sort of in the lower portion of the table. So if you're trying to find a team that can sort of bounce up and nab a spot in the top 10, I think Port Adelaide's the one for me. They've got a new coach. I think that'll give them a huge boost. There's sort of different roles for a number of guys, including Todd Marshall, who's now going to play in defence. I think they're in possession of certainly my favourite player, but one of the best players in the competition in Zach Butters.
Here's Butters, 2 bounces. Zach Butters, goal at his mercy. Absolutely outstanding. He is a force to be reckoned with, this man. And Zach Butters is in some kind of mood here in this third term.
He's off contract at season's end, but I don't think that's going to bother him. I don't think that's something that'll weigh on him. We saw what he was able to do through the preseason so far. And you got to remember with Port Adelaide that before last year, they had finished top 3 in the ladder for 4 of the previous 5 seasons. So they've been up for a long time. But what that also shows is this is a team that knows how to win a lot of games. They've got a soft start to start the season. I don't think they play a live body until round 5. So all of a sudden, if you start 4 and zip to the new season, you only need to win from that point on, Poppy, 6 of your next 19 games to make it to 10 wins. And I'll tell you what, 10 wins has been just about enough to finish 10th on the table in the history of an 18-team competition. So the bar's a little lower than it has been in the past, and I feel like Port Adelaide's probably the team that I would have finishing in the finals that probably most pundits don't.
Corbin Middlemass, it's Christmas Day for footy fans. We're so excited. Thank you so much for your time. Go well this season.
Anytime. Thanks, Poppy.
A reminder, you can hear every game of the footy on ABC Listen, live and ad-free. Headlines. The Matildas are back in action in the Women's Asian Cup on Thursday night against Iran on the Gold Coast. In their first match, the national side seemed to have somewhat of a goalkeeper shortage after injuries to Tegan Micah, Jada Wyman and Mackenzie Arnold. Coach Joe Montemurro has hinted that Arnold may be back in action for the Tillies' second game of the tournament. Good news. New Zealand have progressed to the T20 World Cup final after absolutely belting South Africa. South Africa set a total of 169 in the first innings, which was eaten up with 7 overs to spare, thanks in no small part to a 33-ball 100 from Finn Allen.
One run needed to win. Allen needs 4 for 100. Here we go. Jansen into him on 96. He thrashes it for 4, wins the game, brings up his 100. He finishes it 100 not out. New Zealand have won this semi-final.
South African coach Shukri Conrad probably summed up his team's performance the best.
I don't know if tonight was a choke. I thought it was a bloody walloping. We've got our asses. I think in order for you to choke, you must have had a sniff in the game. We didn't have a sniff.
Ouch. And in the Premier League, Arsenal have extended their lead over Manchester City on the table overnight with a 1-0 win over Brighton. They're 7 points clear on top of the table as they chase their first Premier League title since the 2003-04 season. I'm Poppy Penny and this is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Declan Byrne. Thanks to the AFL and Fox for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.